B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And to talk about Major League Baseball, a guy who I know is, he's just dying inside. He is an ultimate scene head. I say that with lots of love because I know how much the sport means to him. Does an incredible job covering the Phillies and Major League Baseball for NBC Sports Philly. Dear friend of mine, Jim Salisbury on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jimmy.
Hi, Ant.
So I think of you during all this labor strife, and I think of somebody like you that loves baseball. You love baseball more than any other sport. You've made baseball your life's vocation. And I wonder how you feel during this period.
Well, I miss it. And I miss more than Major League Baseball. I feel for the people who work in minor league baseball. I mean, I cut my teeth covering AAA baseball. My dad was a high school coach. I feel for high school players. I feel for little leaguers, Legion. So I feel for really all young athletes who've lost their games here this spring, and maybe it spills over to the summer. So, in terms of myself, I miss the daily rhythm of, my 1:30 stop into the Wawa for a cup of coffee, driving into the ballpark, and then, gathering, being a reporter, going to work, watching game, writing about it. I miss it. And, I think a lot of people miss it. Baseball, a lot of people bash baseball. And, sadly, both sides have given the baseball bashers here plenty of fodder. That's sad to see, but still a great game in spite of what a chore.
The game itself is beautiful, and it will always have a special place, I think, in most of our hearts. Yeah, I think the shame of it is goes down to the men who run it.
And that's, it's like a 100-year-old quote, right? Baseball must be a great game to survive the people who run it. I think that quote is like 100 years old. There's a lot, I don't bury my head in the sand. I think the game has problems, the length of game. I think it's become a chore to watch, the style of play. I'd like to see it get back to some of the ways it used to be played. But in the short term, I'm feeling some optimism. I have sensed and felt all along that there would be some type of a season here in the summer of 2020. And after a few days of some pessimism, I'm feeling more optimism. They have work to do. They definitely have work to do to get it to the finish line. But time is of the essence, and they're talking in positive terms. Throughout this whole thing, and throughout many of these labor problems, I've covered a lot of them over the years, you always get the sense that they're more concerned about winning the deal instead of negotiating the deal, getting a deal. And yesterday was the first time in this that I felt like, okay, because somebody here is concerned with getting a deal, not winning a deal. Concessions were made on both sides. It's just a proposal right now, but if it gets to the finish line, the union's going to back off its threat to grieve. I mean, that's a huge thing for the owners. The players are going to get their 100%. They're talking 60 right now. Players would rather play 70 or above. I think there's really a logical meeting point, at 66, 67, 68 games. I don't know. Maybe it gets to 70. They're finally talking 100% pro rate with the players who want the grievance, which really turned the possibility of a grievance, which really turned the negotiations quite negative. Over the weekend, has a chance to go away in this new proposal. So I see some, some fertile ground for some positive negotiations, and they got to get something done here.
In a hurry.
So we'll see. But I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, and I've always been optimistic, and I'm more optimistic than ever now.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly, with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. The thing that I still mourn over is, I think they missed such a golden opportunity, because if there's ever a time in this country where we need sport back and we need baseball back, it's now. And the sport that will usher us back from the pandemic will be soccer. And the fact that we go July 4th without baseball is a shame on those guys. Shame that they're not playing.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they couldn't have gotten to this point where they have a quote-unquote, you know, framework for a deal a lot sooner. I mean, the players have dug in from the get-go on that 100%. There was that ambiguity in that email over whether that or not they had the right to renegotiate the March 26th agreement if there were no fans in the stands. I mean, shame on whoever communicated that provision. I mean, how could it not have been more ironclad where there
right?
was any ambiguity at all? I mean, supposed to be big, smart lawyers. I mean, how could there be any ambiguity there? I mean, that set this thing way back. But, I mean, you're right, not having a 4th of July, not having a Memorial Day was different. But hopefully we'll have it on July 19th, July 20th, and there'll be a, you know, it's going to be different than the game has ever been before. It's a marathon this year, the sport's a marathon. This year it's going to be a sprint. I mean, you're already starting with, if you could look at it this way, 2/3 of the season is gone.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a 1/3 sprint to the finish line. We might see some interesting things. But, you know, you alluded to the bad taste that's going to be in people's mouths. Baseball's done this to fans before. It must be a great game to survive all the bruises that, all these self-inflicted bruises that it's given itself over the years. So I hope it survives this one. I hope they get to the finish line again. They're not done yet, but everybody I talked to is pretty optimistic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Do you think there'll be players that don't play that will sit out?
Probably. I mean, there might be some who are concerned about health.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm kind of a believer in the soul of a competitor.
Yeah.
And what makes a competitor tick. And, you know, pro athletes are great competitors. You don't rise to the top of your profession in any sport without being a really good competitor. So, unless there's a real worry or if they're in a high-risk group because of a previous illness or something, I think the majority of them are going to, you know, go out there, lace it up, and get after it for a couple months. But I think, you know, that kind of dovetails to an interesting point. I mean, health is still a priority here, and the health crisis could there could be a flare-up that could shut everything down again. I mean,
I know.
You know, MLB is very concerned with that. They really want this postseason to get off the ground because this postseason is very lucrative. That's why they want to contain it to the month of October before this predicted second wave. So, you know, everybody still has to respect what that virus can do to the situation. That still comes first.
Not without a doubt. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly with us. How do you think the Phillies are situated, just to kind of have some fun and talk about ball, how do you think the Phillies are situated for this sprint to the playoffs?
That's a great question. I think the strength of their team is probably their lineup, probably going to be their offense. Still have to perform, still have to hit. You have to avoid slumps. And, you know, if these guys have 2 or 3 month slumps, that's going to eat you up in a 65-70 game season. So I like their offense, but I also think the pitching is going to be ahead of the offense, ahead of the hitters out of the gate. I like Nola. I like Wheeler. Big drop off on the entire pitching staff right through the bullpen after those two guys. So the success of this team is going to be dictated, I think, by pitching and by how big the drop-off is after the number two spot in the starting rotation, like I said, right through the bullpen. I don't see a particularly strong bullpen, and managers are going to have to lean on their bullpens early because starters aren't going to be ready to really, you know, take you through the middle innings in the first few weeks of the season. So, you know, they're going to have some things go right. Their hitters are not going to be afforded the luxury of a slow start. They need to come out and really pound the ball early because, you know, I don't see the bullpen as being a particular strength, and I think bullpens are going to be very important.
Oh, my God, you read my mind. I was going to ask you about how do you look at this pen because the pen really worries me. And, you know, I mean, when you're dealing with First of all, you're not going to have a long spring training again and stretching guys out. So your bullpen's going to be really important, not a lot of off days. You're really going to have to rely on your pen. And I'm afraid of this bullpen. Who do you think they can rely on? Who do you like in this pen?
Well, I like Hector Neris. I know, you know, he gives you some nervous ninth innings, but I generally like him. Adam Morgan's coming back from an injury. I think he's important. Liriano, the non-roster invitee makes the team. I think if he pitches like he did last year, he can help you. Obviously, you're not going to have Seranthony. You're not going to have Robertson out of the gate. Bullpens are so mercurial, Anthony. They're up 1 year, down the next year. I remember when Rael Cormier was here. He was literally the worst reliever in the National League 1 year. The next year, he was literally the best reliever in the National League. I mean, it's just crazy how they can be up and down. They need these guys to be on a 2 month upswing if they're going to get where, you know, have a chance to make the postseason. Because I still think even though it's going to be weird and it's going to be, the postseason has a chance to be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's weird, but you know, listen, if you're playing, I don't know, this will be interesting, and we love sports and we love the game so much that it should be fun. Jimmy, last thing, I was curious, did you see the Sosa McGuire 30 for 30?
I saw bits and pieces of it, and I liked it. I remember I was covering the Phillies in those years, so I was really focused on the Phillies. But I did, you know, parachuting to St. Louis a couple times, and Labor Day weekend when McGuire hit, I think it was 61 and 62 or 60 and 61. Very exciting. I saw it. I'm a Mark McGuire fan. I think he's got a good heart. I think he made a mistake, and I respect him as a human being for, you know, hey, standing up. It took some time, but obviously he took stock in his conscience and stood up and said he made a mistake, and he's still out there coaching. You know, I love to go out to the ballpark early. You go to San Diego, he's out there at 1:30 working with young players. I think he's a good guy who admitted he made a mistake, and I'm happy that he's still contributing in the game. So I think he showed some character in admitting his mistake. Obviously, he made a mistake, paying a huge price for it, won't go to the Hall of Fame. But they didn't deal much with the steroid issue.
I mean, that's the thing. And you'll know this well, because I was on the Sosa beat. So, right. And you remember how big it was in New York, because you came in and we worked together there at the Post, and I was at the Post, and I'm on the Sosa beat, and this, you know, it was bigger than life, just that whole thing. And yet, you remember, because you cover the game, how it was like this unspoken thing. Like, you saw the bodies change, but it just kind of, you know, it was like a wink-wink, but it wasn't literally against the rules at that point, and it was an odd kind of way that we all covered the game.
Well, we all suspected it. I mean, we suspected it was in society and football and weightlifting, everything else. It wasn't against the rules. I will tell you, I asked players flat out, and nobody ever admitted it. And players that I suspected and asked them flat out, and they said no, and they never did. And, we're very naive. We're a lot more in tune with it now. But, you know, hey, look, I remember sitting in the stands at Fenway Park in like 89 or 90, watching a game as a spectator with my buddies, and the Texas Rangers were facing Roger Clemens, and this skinny kid came up leading off for the Texas Rangers and hit one into the net, back when they had a net at Fenway. And his name was Sammy Sosa. I thought it was first home run off Roger Clemens. I can still see it. I was sitting down the third baseline. He tomahawks this high fastball out of the park. And then you just looked at his body change. You looked at what he became. And then years later, 98, that summer, and they showed this on that 30 for 30, he hit a bomb off Toby Borland at Wrigley Field down the left field line. It clanged off some apartment building a couple blocks away. Camera followed it the whole way. I mean,
I was there that day. Yeah,
that was against the Phillies. It was in July. I want to say the month he hit like 21 home runs or something.
Yeah,
it was during that stretch when he went crazy. So, I mean, as a purist, as somebody who really respects the game, the steroid era really bothers me. In fact, I have stopped voting for the Hall of Fame because I just can't you know, define who did it clean and who did it not, who did it not clean. So I just assume step away and not be part of the process. You know, I don't count toward the percentage, so I don't affect anything. But, you know, that's my little way of saying it. It bothers me, at least, you know, what we know now. But at the time, I don't think we really knew any of the specifics. So I can tell you, I asked questions and guys, nobody was going to come clean.
No, I mean, no, not at all. Jimmy, last thing, Real Muto, anything going on there?
Well, they want to sign him, and I still think they're going to sign him because I think they know they have to make him the highest paid catcher ever in terms of average value, and I think they're prepared to do that. It's whether or not he wants to, you know, now roll the dice on bigger free agent riches because maybe the risk of getting worn down or getting hurt is mitigated by the fact they're only going to play 65 or so games. But you can still get hurt in one game. So, but I think he has to weigh the fact that, you know, revenues are going to be down and that might affect the free agent market. So I think there's things he has to weigh on both sides. I don't know this for a fact. It's just my gut feeling. But, you know, they know where they have to go with the number. It's going to have to be, you know, up around, you know, $24 million over a 5 or 6 year deal. And I think they know it has to go there. I look for them to kind of be aggressive coming out of the gate and trying to get something done, whether or not he decides to say, I'm only 3 or 4 months away from free agency. I'm going to roll the dice on bigger riches. That's up to him. And at that point, who knows what system we'll be dealing with? Who knows how much money these teams are going to have, or at least have to spend that they want to spend, because of, the factoring any revenue losses this season. But if I was a betting man, I would bet that they're going to wrap them up. But again, that's just my gut feel. I could
that's
be
good.
Wrong.
No, I agree. That's why I asked you. Jimmy, always a pleasure, man. God bless your family. Hope you're safe during this period. And hopefully we get baseball back soon, brother.
I hear you, Ant. And all the same to you, my friend. And we'll see what happens here.
Thanks, brother. The best. Okay. Jimmy Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.